And welcome back to the latest and greatest episode of the Shaving Points Podcast. My name is Jayton May, joined as always by my co-host, Quentin Crisco, breaking down NFL free agency this week. How are we doing tonight, Quentin?
We're up in here, man. We're getting ready for free agency. Just pounding out, watching draft prospects 24/7. I haven't left this basement in a week. It's all I've done with my life.
The Ryan Pace strategy?
The Ryan Pace strategy?
That's what you told me about Ryan Pace back in the day, whenever they were had the number three pick that traded up to two. You're like, I have full faith in Ryan Pace. He hasn't left his basement in months. And then they drafted Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, I probably said that. I did not do near as much research, but near as much effort into this stuff. I was a completely different person back then.
I don't think I should be held
accountable for what I said.
Probably a good thing, because if you would have had a strong opinion on it and then it didn't go your way, then you're even more mad that you're like, I knew that and I'm just a dude.
Yeah. I mean, 100%, when that draft pick was made, I had like 30 seconds of like panic and like, what just happened? And then I like clicked out of it and was like, no, it's all good. It's all good. It's going to be fine. This kid's going to be a star.
Star.
Just went into full like.
There was a star in that draft. People forget.
Oh, yeah. No, you never let me forget.
But nobody says anything about the San Francisco 49ers taking Solomon Thomas when they needed a quarterback with Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson.
Blitz boy and the Jaguars taking
all needed quarterbacks. Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, playoff Lenny. I was about to say playoff Larry, and I was like, that's not right.
I mean, the Bears may have got it wrong, but at least they tried.
Yeah. Boom. That's all you can ask, that you try.
Like, if you think you got your guy, you go get your guy. But the fact that you think a guy like Leonard Fournette or Blitz Boy or Solomon Thomas can change your franchise more than a franchise quarterback, and nobody talks about it. So,
full disclosure, I thought the pick was going to be Blitz Boy, and I wanted it to be Solomon Thomas, so...
Well, at least you got a first set of Blitz Boys. Y'all traded them.
Yeah. Multiple, right?
Yeah. That too, I think.
Yeah. That would have been better.
Yeah. I mean, better than Solomon Thomas, who barely even saw any playing time. And I think he plays for the Chiefs now, doesn't he?
Shoot. He was with the Jets at the start of the year. He was on
Jets. I remember seeing him in like a... Yeah, somewhere where it was like, oh, he's there now. But yeah, crazy draft, crazy time. I think we got Taco Charlton that year, so it was good for everybody.
Absolutely. I thought he was going to be good too.
Same. I have a jersey.
God, I sucked at draft evals when I didn't put any work into them.
I mean, you had me pounding the table for Mozzie Smith last year, so.
Hey, I still stand on Mozzie Smith.
Hey,
it is not Mozzie's fault that Dan Quinn is stupid.
Well, Dan Quinn's gone, so is Mike Zimmer going to get him right? Or is that too late?
I bet he does. Unless Mozzie just suddenly can't put weight back on, like dropping him down below 300 pounds. That never made any sense.
Let me go hang out with them for a week and I'll get weight back on him.
Yeah, boom, there you go.
Show him how to eat.
But man, I still stand by Mozzie Smith. I think Zim's gonna get him right.
I'm excited for the Zimmer defense in Dallas. And
I forgot that y'all got Zim Zam.
We do got Zim Zam.
Right, before you guys got him, I said to you, the Cowboys should get Mike Zimmer. That would be sick to bring him back there because he's gonna run a sick offense for you guys. Did we lose defense. You guys? Are you still
no,
there?
I'm still here.
Okay.
Was defense, but yeah.
Yeah, well, before free agent or before the coaching hires started, I told Jay, I was like, man, y'all got to get Mike Zimmer. He's going to run some more creative defenses for you guys. He's going to make it a lot of fun in Dallas for you.
Yeah, I think I'm back now. Hold on. Can you see me?
Yeah.
I got lost for a second. But, yeah, I'm very excited for Zimmer. Don't know what's going on with Leighton Vander Esch, but there's a lot of linebackers out there in free agency that we're about to talk about. So I think we can find somebody if it's not there in the draft. I mean, with that 3-4, DeMarcus Lawrence already locked up. Who knows what we're going to do with...
Wait, 3-4? What do you mean by that?
4-3.
Okay.
I got a little dyslexia for a second.
Yeah, I didn't know if they were switching something up or something that ain't catch. No, like I said, what's up? Been in a draft coma, so...
Yeah, no, we got Damone Clark. We got maybe DeMar being overshown can do something for us. Maybe LVE can stay healthy. But linebacker is really my only cause of concern right now. But there's a ton of linebackers in free agency. And it's a
linebacker
not,
league.
Yeah. So I think we can figure out the linebacker spot and then hopefully re-sign Dorrance Armstrong. Keep that D-line strong.
There's dudes in the draft, too. And then, like, no one's talking about any of the draft linebacker prospects. But there's some impressive dudes.
Yep. Yeah. I think linebackers about to make a resurgence. Off-the-ball linebackers are about to make a resurgence in the NFL with the way some of these guys are changing defenses and right now in the league.
Can I tell you a secret?
Tell me the secret.
It's already happening.
Yeah.
It's already started. You look at the Ravens. You look at the Chiefs. You look at the 49ers. You look at the Lions.
Yep.
All extremely talented linebacker force.
Exactly. And the Ravens trading for a guy like Roquan Smith and then extending him and then having the defense that they have. And they're just going to let Patrick Queen walk because Roquan Smith is so good.
Yeah, well, Patrick Queen wasn't very good until Roquan got there either. So I think there's a little. There's some purpose to why they're letting him walk.
Remember when Roquan Smith was a Bear?
I will never forget when Roquan Smith was a Bear.
Man, he was so good at Georgia too. I love Roquan Smith.
Me too. I was sad when they traded him. I understood it, but I was sad.
Is he one of those guys that like Bears fans still like? He's a Bear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But the thing that, like, I understood it when they traded him, but then when they went and signed Tremaine Edmonds for very similar money, it was like, well, then why'd you trade Roquan?
But it was two different GMs, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Roquan was drafted by Pace and traded by
Poles. Oh, was he traded by Poles?
Uh-huh.
I thought he was traded by Pace, and then Poles is the one that signed Edmonds.
No, Poles traded Roquan and then signed Edmonds a few months later.
Okay. Well, and then...
It's because Edmonds fits Matt Eberflus's scheme a lot better. But I think that Smith is the better football player.
Yeah, and then on top of that, I mean, you go use that second round... Or you, not that second round, but then you go use a second round pick on a guy that just doesn't work out at all. And you're like, can we just have him back, please?
Who's the guy that hasn't worked out at all?
The Claypool.
Oh no, the second round pick was they used that on Jaquan Brisker.
No, I'm saying you got a second round pick and then you used a second round pick. It wasn't the same one, but it was like, oh, we got a second round pick and we get to go get a receiver, and then you just got the wrong guy. But
yeah. that trade is regrettable.
In theory, it was like, oh, that's awesome. Like, we got rid of a guy that we couldn't pay, only to turn around and get what people thought was a good big body wide receiver that was going to help out a young quarterback. And it didn't work, but you got to respect the move.
You can't let it get you down. That's how you just got to keep shooting your shot. That's how you get Montez Sweat in the building.
Yeah. And he's, you already signed him, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. They signed him a big extension.
Locked up, yeah. I heard Chase Young is going to get like $160 million.
No.
I said the same thing. That's what I said.
Like, let's see. Let's go to the fancy computer machine and see what PFF Brad projected for Chase Young.
I saw 5 years, $170 million projected earlier when I was looking at free agents. So I was like, there's nobody that's paying that man that much money.
PFF Brad projected 1 year, $15 million.
I think he's going to go the Jadeveon Clowney route and just keep taking 1 year deals with high guarantees and just hop around the league and be good to better than average, have some good seasons, always make your money, but never commit anywhere, and just have a 8 to 9 year career of making good money everywhere.
Yeah,
I think, in my opinion, Jadeveon Clowney's doing it right. Like, why tie yourself down anywhere when you can like go out there and get 7 to 9 sacks a year, and somebody else is like, oh, you're basically like a hired gun. They're like, oh, we can get Jadeveon Clowney for 1 year for $13 million. Like, let's just do that. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I think the family aspect starts to get in, like, you know, because you're moving your family every year at that point.
If then. You have a family, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that's probably a big reason why you don't see it combined with the security of getting a $50-60 million signing bonus.
Well, I think it has to be somebody who was drafted as high as those guys were. Like Jadeveon Clowney, number 1 overall, Chase Young, number 2 overall. Like
Yannick Ngakoue.
Was he that high?
No.
Oh.
But he does the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. But he signed a big contract at one point, didn't he?
It wasn't that. It didn't give him a lot of security.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I'm saying for those two guys specifically to get all that rookie money up front and then be able to just kind of hop around the league making $9 million guaranteed with a possibility of $15 million or whatever it is,
yeah,
year after year after year, and just picking your spots and going to teams where you can be competitive. Like, that's not a bad way to live.
No, it's not. I mean, $9 million a year doesn't sound bad to me at all.
Yeah, but let's start getting into this free agency class a little bit. You want to start with running backs, quarterbacks?
Start with running backs, man. The most important position on the field.
It is until it isn't. I mean, what's crazy about running backs is when a running back is having a good year, how a team can dominate the line of scrimmage and like control the clock, control the game. Like, how much having a good running back helps your team, and then how much nobody doesn't value the running back position at the same time.
So it's a really weird thing. It's
easily
right?
replaceable. But
especially right now with how light defensive fronts have gotten, I think big running backs are gonna be making a resurgence here just for the size advantage.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that helps their value though, because it's still a position where you're saying these players are at their best from like 22, 23 to 26, 27 rookie yeah. contracts, and you're scared to give them second contracts. And I mean, you're scared to give that. You can say that about any position.
Yeah.
No one hits their prime at 28, 29 years old, like yeah. as a group for positional value. But like, especially at running back, it gets really hard to justify paying these guys that type of money that at that age and with that type of mileage.
Yeah,
so like, I don't know.
Christian McCaffrey is like the only guy right now.
Yeah. I don't know that you see a resurgence in the free agency valuations, but I think you see a resurgence in the importance of the position here pretty soon.
Yeah. And that's why I think this class could get people paying more for running backs maybe in the future. Maybe a team like that's on the verge. Like, I know Austin Eckler is a free agent, but like maybe the Chargers go get like a Saquon Barkley on a pretty cheap deal, and then Saquon just goes off and they're able to dominate the league with a running game while having Justin Herbert and everything else that they have. And it's like, oh, we just let the Chargers sign Saquon Barkley for 2 years, $17 million for $9.3 million guaranteed. Like,
hey, if I'm the Chargers, I'm going after Josh Jacobs. Year yeah. younger, very clean injury history relative to Saquon, and a guy who has really excelled in a gap scheme. I mean, you got Greg yeah. Roman there. They're going to be running gap concepts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I think Jacobs would be a great fit there.
Yeah, but yeah, Jacobs too. I'm just saying, like, in general, like, there's a team like the Chargers that are probably going to sign a guy that if he blows up and it's like, this dude's only making $7 million a year and he had 23 touchdowns or something, like.
Yeah.
And then the next time running backs hit the market. But let's look at some of these running backs and, like, where you think they're going. Like, we can start with Josh Jacobs, Saquon. Like, what are we thinking for these guys? Like, because you look at the teams who like to run, and most of the teams that like to run, like to establish the run, all seem to already have their guy. And it's like, these guys aren't going to be looking to be running back by committees, more than likely, or unless you want to give them the money to be a running back by committee. So it's like,
I mean, Jacobs is the one guy who I think can really demand it, of like, he can walk in and be your bell cow of any of the free agents here, because he's the only guy who's proven to be able to do it year in, year out. And I wasn't even a big Josh Jacobs fan in that when he was drafted, but like, he's proven me wrong. Like, I thought he was fine, but nothing special. And
wasn't he part of the trade that brought Mac to,
essentially, yeah, he was
Chicago,
the first round picks that the Bears sent to the Raiders.
Yeah, and then their other one was the Amari Cooper one that they got the safety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you look at Jacobs' numbers over 800 yards every year in 5 years, over 1,000 yards in three of those. Just 2 years ago, he had 1,600 yards and 12 touchdowns. I mean, last year was a little bit down for him, but also that Raiders team was kind of a mess and didn't have a quarterback. So yeah. I'm not too concerned.
And they all hated their coach.
He went down because he was the offense. I honestly, man, it's so hard to get a feel for who might go after these guys. Like, I mean,
because you look at some of the teams that need a running back, like Dallas is a running back, but it's like, they're not going to pay a running back.
Yeah, they're going to pay $10, $11 million a year for one.
Yeah. And then maybe like a New England, but it's like, if New England.
Yeah, Ramondre Stevenson already, though. I mean,
and Zeke.
Yeah.
And then
Steelers, maybe. I don't know what their cap situation looks
like. Seattle likes to run the ball, but they have Zach Charbonnet and the second year guy.
Yeah, Jonathan, or not Jonathan Taylor, mini Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah. We all know who we're talking about here.
What's his name? I've had him in fantasy for the last 2 years. What is it?
Michigan State guy. Kenneth Walker. Old Kenny. KW. Yeah,
mini Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
The Texans, maybe.
That was my next one. Texans, maybe. But who do they go after? Do they go get DeAndre Swift for cheaper? Because I mean, you look at these running backs, and then it's DeAndre Swift, it's Austin Eckler, it's Saquon Barkley, it's Josh Jacobs, and am I missing anybody? Tony Pollard.
Tony Pollard. Austin Eckler, but Eckler's kind of washed.
Yeah.
J.K. Dobbins he'll be a cheap flyer. Someone.
Oh, J.K. Dobbins is a free agent?
Mm-hmm.
I'll take him as a cheap flyer all day. If he can stay
healthy. Then there's a few other names, but no one major. Antonio Gibson could be a sleeper. Not a lot of tread on those tires. And I thought he was always pretty good in Washington.
Yeah, pretty solid. But I'm saying, as far as the top guys go, a team like the Texans, it's like, do you spend $11 million on a Saquon or a Josh Jacobs, or do you try to get DeAndre Swift for $6 million?
If I'm them, I'm not paying anyone on my offense other than Laramie Tunsil right now. I'm just getting talent around C.J. Stroud.
So you get who you think is best.
I'm going to get Josh Jacobs if it's me.
Yeah, if it's you. But I'm saying, like, if you think Saquon's the guy, you go get Saquon. If you think it's Josh Jacobs, you go get Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
I could see that. And given CJ Stroud, I mean, who's the better pass catcher, Josh Jacobs or Saquon?
It's Saquon, but I think the injury risk is just like every year it's a question with Saquon, right? It's like, which Saquon are you going to get? And he's a year older than Jacobs, and Jacobs has just been much more consistent, even with the down year like last year. I mean,
I like that. So instead of assigning somebody to a team, let's just assign teams that are probably going to sign someone. So probably Texans.
Yeah,
I think that probably makes the most amount of sense. Maybe Minnesota if moving on from Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I mean, well, and Minnesota is moving on from Alexander Mattison.
Yeah. But who do they play at quarterback? I mean, can they get Russell Josh Wilson Dobbs. There?
They got him locked up, man. They got him a multi-year deal. Truthfully, if I was the Vikings, I'd bring Cousins back for a two-year deal. And go trade up and get JJ McCarthy. Like, I think that is the best route for them, but I don't think that's not where stuff seems to be going.
Yeah, I mean, he seems all but gone right now, but just looking at that, just Panthers, looking at these
Panthers are a prime candidate to go pay a running back.
Yeah, I gotta do something. Yeah, draft picks.
You gotta figure something out to help Bryce Young, and the receiver market ain't hot. Like, yeah, you gotta get some help out.
Receiver market's not hot. What they don't pick until what, 33?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, 33.
They could get a receiver there, obviously. But I mean, they still need more than that. So yeah, Panthers, Texans, maybe the Vikings. Cowboys need a running back. Everybody keeps saying Derrick Henry is the other one. Everybody keeps saying Derrick Henry to the Dallas, but I think that's just Dallas.
To Baltimore.
Yeah, I think that's just Dallas fans like being ridiculous more than like actually happening. I don't want Derrick Henry unless it's cheap. Like, yeah, I don't think he's gonna be cheap. So it's like
2 years. $18 million is what Brad has projected for him.
For Derrick Henry? Yeah. He can go to Baltimore on that. But
yeah, outside of that, I mean, I don't know who's signing Eckler. I mean, he's just a platoon guy at this point. I mean, he's clearly lost a step. His speed is not
And he wasn't the touchdown guy. Like, we talked about it in the offseason. It's like, it's not sustainable. Like,
yeah,
he lived off touchdown.
AJ Dillon could be a nice ad for someone.
Not a whole lot of tread on the tires, like you said earlier.
Yeah, and but, Deontay Foreman, the constant free agent, he'll be out there just accumulating numbers for someone next year, being the hoss that he is. But
yeah,
there'll be another 1 year deal.
Yeah, then. Yeah, but running back's interesting. I'm excited to see what happens. But you want to talk about some of these quarterbacks?
Yeah. We've already mentioned Kirk Cousins. It feels like Atlanta is going to be a real thing there. Maybe the Vikings swoop in last minute. The thing that makes it interesting is the aspect with his wife, I think, because if I'm him, I'm thinking I don't want to move my family. You know, we have a base here in Minnesota that my kids have grown up here, like all that. But with his wife being from Atlanta, that kind of changes that.
Yeah. And I mean, probably looking closer and closer to retirement. And you're not going to, you probably don't want to retire in Minnesota and stay there. So if they can move down south, I mean, even if they end up going to like Florida, Alabama, Georgia, they'll be in Georgia. But yeah, I mean, it's close. The weather is better. Everything, like, it's just nicer down there. As far as like raising a family, it's like all four seasons, all that good stuff people like to talk about. So yeah, I mean, I could definitely see him making the move, and then obviously his wife having connections there, and now you have all the beat reporters and people saying like, oh, he's already looking at different schools that he can enroll his kids in and all this stuff. But it's like, what is Atlanta doing? I saw something about this earlier. It was like, they had a chance to get Lamar Jackson last year. They didn't even entertain it. They had a chance to hire Bill Belichick, didn't even entertain it. and doing all these things, and then like all of a sudden Kirk Cousins is going to be the guy they pull the trigger on.
Yeah, I mean, so to our comment here real quick, we got Calvin in the comments saying he was surprised the Giants didn't tag Saquon, guessing injuries played into it. I mean,
running back tag's expensive too.
Yeah,
running back tag's expensive. I mean, you're going to be paying $12 million. The production really hasn't been there to tag him. Like, why would, like, you're not gonna pay someone $12 million guaranteed if you don't even know if he's gonna see the field, and then they don't know what they're doing at the quarterback position. I mean, I think it's a transition year for him, and in that case, like, best case scenario, Saquon's really, really good, and he like makes you get a worse draft pick. But I think what they're really focused on this year is just finding out what they really have with Danny Dimes, honestly.
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to pull up their cap situation right now. So let's see.
I think they have money.
Yeah, they have $38 million, but I mean, your draft class is probably eating into a chunk of that. Probably a solid $10 million of that is going to be draft class.
Yeah.
If not a little more, picking in the top five. So then you're talking $28 million if you have to re-sign guys. Like, yeah, Xavier McKinney is a free agent, Adoree Jackson, Saquon. I mean, I guess that might be it. I don't know if you want to bring a Sterling Shepard back or anything, or Paris Campbell. But
they have Kayvon Thibodeau coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, he'll be there in time.
Well, no, he's going in third year. I was thinking he's going into his fourth year.
But I think it's more that you need to.
Have they re-signed Evan Neal yet?
Are they going to re-sign Evan Neal?
I thought they liked him. I hope they re-sign him.
Maybe they like him because they say they like him, but he hadn't been good.
No, I like him for the Giants.
Yeah, I bet you do like him for the Giants.
Parsons owns that guy.
The left tackle, Andrew Thomas, he's already been paid.
Andrew Thomas, yeah.
Yeah, I imagine you probably just need that cap space. Like, you probably need to be using it on defense somewhere, on the O-line.
It's just
like,
better spent elsewhere.
There's stuff that you need to address.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't really bring a whole lot of value to the team right now, so really no point to tag him. I mean, at his best, he's electric, but how often has he been at his best for him? Like,
it's every other year, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, maybe they could have tagged him and got one more good year out of him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a weird situation there right now with Daboll and all the stuff that happened, and it's probably just time to move on.
He's not in the long-term plan for sure, so.
Yeah. And then beyond Kirk at quarterback, you got Baker Mayfield, who's probably going back to Tampa now, and that combination is really going to screw Justin Fields' trade market.
Yeah,
takes Atlanta out of the picture and takes Tampa out of the picture and leaves Minnesota, the one team the Bears don't want to trade a quarterback to, in the picture.
Also, you have to throw in the fact that Russell Wilson is now going to be soon to be a free agent playing at league minimum. So he can basically choose where he signs. And he's going to sign for nothing because it makes no sense for him to sign he's not going to sign for more than $39 million, which is what the Broncos have to pay him. And then any salary that he gets, the Broncos don't have to pay that. So if he signed for $17 million, then the Broncos would only have to pay $22 million of the $39 million. So he's not going to sign for more than $39 million. So he's going to sign for league minimum somewhere. And that also hurts the Justin Fields trade value tremendously, I think.
Yeah, so they probably have, how would that work? The offsetting money in the NFL contract. I'm confused by that.
It looks like it to me. It's set up like similar to like a college coach's buyout. To where if you get bought out for $23 million, you can go coach somewhere else, and they hire you for $10 million, then they're only on the hook for $13 million.
But, okay, so his 2024 salary was fully guaranteed.
Yes.
So that's $17 million that he's still guaranteed from the Broncos that will be offset by whatever contract he gets. So if he signs a $3 million contract somewhere else, the Broncos only owe him $14 million,
yeah. And so, yeah, everything I've seen is like basically he's going to sign for league minimum because nobody's going to pay him more than what the Broncos owe him. And so it's going to be a one-year deal somewhere. Be a prove-it year, basically. And I'm looking at teams like Seattle. I'm looking at teams like Vegas. I'm looking at teams like Minnesota. Teams with good established receivers and around league average to maybe a little bit better than league average defenses.
You know, if I'm the Steelers, I'm interested in them.
Absolutely, the Steelers, yeah.
But then again, actually, you know what? No, he would fit just fine in Arthur Smith's system. It's just a question whether he'd get along with Arthur Smith. But he would do, like, he could be Ryan Tannehill for you.
He'd be better than Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, and probably healthier.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Russell Wilson upside, if I'm a team with a question mark at quarterback, I would go try it out. But it's like okay, so this is my theory. Like, what about Washington? You get Drake May, you get Jaden Daniels, you get Caleb Williams at number two. And let them sit for a year. You do the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes thing. They have a ton of money. They go out. They build a team. They say, okay, Russ, this is your year. Go make it a prove it year. And then you can go sign a $160 million contract next year. Let your rookie sit. I mean, he's an established pro. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Been to two Super Bowls. Like, looking at recent history, it's pretty beneficial to let you guys sit. I mean, I hate the Packers, but I mean, look how good Jordan Love was this year. Look what Patrick Mahomes did. Like, guys don't sit anymore, and the few that have been great.
So I'm a big believer that sitting a rookie quarterback only works if you have someone worth sitting them behind. And Russell might be that. Russell Wilson
I
might
think
be
he is.
But, like, I'm a big, big believer that if you don't have that, it's just a fool's errand at that point.
Don't set him just to set him.
Quarterback's not going to respect that guy. He's not going to want to hear from him in the film room. It's going to get ugly. And
I mean, Russell Wilson's a fringe Hall of Famer. I mean,
I'm not saying he's not worthy of it. I'm just giving my opinion on the sitting aspect.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm a believer that sitting only works when you have an Alex Smith or better caliber quarterback ahead of
him. Which I think Russell Wilson falls into that.
Yeah, he might. He might. It's just a question of how much you can rein him in, I think. How much you can keep Russ on the field and Mr. Unlimited off the field.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you never know with professional athletes and their egos and everything, but I mean, I think Russ knows this year, no matter where he goes, it's going to be a one-year deal. He'd almost be stupid to sign a longer than a one-year deal, a prove-it deal. And a place like Washington would be perfect. Brand new head coach, good receivers all around you, good running game, a team that can spend money in free agency, and a team that's getting another quarterback in the draft almost assuredly. Like, go show what you can do and then hit the market next year. I think that, like, in an ideal world, I think that's perfect because your money's already made this year. Yeah. So, like, you're not looking for money this year. You're only looking for opportunity to further multiply your earnings for the future. And that's almost a perfect scenario for all parties involved.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if I was Russ, a part of me would consider just waiting and seeing if a quarterback of a good team goes down, and I can jump on that.
Since you're getting paid anyway?
Yeah, I'm getting paid anyway. I might as well wait it out, see if, you know, if someone
God forbid, I mean, San Francisco would be the perfect fit.
See, I actually question whether Russ can work in a Shanahan offense. Like in a Kyle Shanahan, in not a Shanahan offense,
but
in
Kyle Shanahan's
offense.
Yeah.
I just think he likes to free ball too much. He likes to just go off a whim, and that is not something that Kyle Shanahan is going to put up with.
But with that run game and everything they have there and the deep threats that they have, like, that's where if he will actually play to the system and play through the running game, like, he throws the deep ball better than anybody in the league. That, I mean, that's been the case for a long time.
Yeah.
And you have a guy like Brandon Ayuk there that you can play that off of. Like, oof.
If I'm Russ, I'm looking at, like, the Cowboys and hoping Dak goes down. Not hoping, but, like, thinking if Dak goes down, I could jump in that offense and really... No. Cincinnati, I think, is a spot where he could be like, Burrow goes down. Oh, boy.
Dallas, Cincinnati. There was one more I was thinking about earlier. Buffalo.
Yeah.
Would all be, like, great fits for him.
I don't know about Buffalo. I think – I don't know how talented that offense actually is.
But, yeah, I'm
– Chargers? Yeah. If Herbert went down, you'd be like, I could win more games than Justin Herbert did for you and create controversy.
I definitely think he'd win more games than Justin Herbert.
But correction earlier, I said Josh Dobbs is still a Viking. He is not. He's a free agent. But you want to move on to some receivers?
Yeah, let's talk about receivers. Is Brandon Ayuk not a free agent?
No, he has 1 year left.
He's trying to get
an extension or force a trade to someone who will pay him now. One of the two.
I don't blame him. I'll pay him. You want to come play for me? Whatever he wants. I think Brandon Ayuk is incredible.
Oh yeah, I've been saying it for years. I was hoping he'd fall to the Bears in that draft. Like that was my dude in that class.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a GM in the league right now, like, I don't know what Brandon Ayuk wants as far as money, but I don't think it's going to be Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb, some of these guys. I don't think it's going to be that type of money that makes it happen to sign him long term, but I think his upside is just as good as any of those guys.
Yeah, no, I mean, it. I think any team in the league would be thrilled to add Ayuk to their roster, but not a free agent yet. Top dog, T. Higgins, got tagged. I don't know what the Bengals are going to do there. They're kind of in a pickle.
Yeah, I mean, with the amount of money that top wide receivers like demand as far as percentage towards the cap, and with T. Higgins' injuries... It's like, it's almost one of those things where it's like, if he's a little bit cheaper, would you trade Jamar Chase and keep T. Higgins? But I don't think so. But no, then paying both with Burrow is almost like, I don't. But I mean, don't count out Zach Taylor, like.
I think if I'm the Bengals, I'm looking to find a way to keep those three together. You look around the league.
For how long, though? Like, long term?
As long as I can. As long as I can.
Yeah.
You look around the league, receivers are not easy to get. You have Joe Burrow. You're not expecting to be drafting high anytime soon. Like, no. I mean, I'm sure – I know their pick is fine this year, but, like – it's a really stacked receiver draft, and there's going to be talent there.
Where are they picking this year?
It's got to be around 15 or something.
Yeah.
Admit.
I want to say probably sooner than that, right? Like 12, 13? Still around 15. But
18.
Oh, later. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, they lost a bunch of tiebreakers between 14 and 18, so they're the last team.
In that tiebreaker scenario?
Yeah.
So, but what is the value of a T. Higgins if you were to trade him? Right now, probably not great. But then you tag him, and he goes out and balls out, and then are you going to go pay him $17, $20 million a year? And Ja'Marr Chase, $20 to $23 million a year? And Joe Burrow, $43 million a year?
Well, first of all, T. Higgins' number is going to start at $22 million because that's what the tag is.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
But, yeah, I'm finding a way. I have two marquee receivers and a star quarterback. I'm keeping that together.
And then you just turn into the 90s Vikings.
Okay. Minus the purple pants, those teams would have won some Super Bowls.
Yeah. I mean, wide right, baby. Make sure you get a good kicker. If you do that, just make sure you get a good kicker.
Yeah. They got Evan McPherson still.
They had the best. Vikings had the best kicker in the league until he wasn't.
Yeah. So, I mean, after tagging Higgins, they've still got $48 million in cap space.
But they haven't signed Chase yet.
Say Chase eats another 20 into that. They still got $28 million in cap space, and they're paying their O-line a bunch right now. That if you can draft a few O-linemen and keep reciprocating the defense, I mean, they're letting DJ Reader walk. That's a big loss.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when you pay the quarterback. I mean, they let Jesse pay the quarterback. You need to choose 3 to 4 positions that you're willing to pay, and the rest you better be able to draft.
They let Master Bates walk, and their defense was fine last year.
Yeah, they missed him.
Well, I mean, they missed him, but I mean, it wasn't terrible.
Yeah, I mean, so you've only got really one other big contract outside of Higgins on the franchise tag than Burrow, and that's Trey Hendrickson. So,
very good.
Two, because you got Orlando Brown and Trey Hendrickson. So those are two of your guys that you're saying this is what we're focusing on. Left tackle makes sense with Burrow. Edge rusher makes sense. I think you add those two receivers in there. By the time you're paying Chase, Hendrickson's deal might be falling off or might be able to get out of. But you just drafted Miles Murphy in the first round last year. If you're feeling good about that, you can let Hendrickson walk. I mean, I think you can find a way to make it work with both those receivers.
You got
to
try it.
I mean,
you're in a conference with Patrick Mahomes, so.
Yeah.
Maybe the only way you can beat him is to outscore him.
Hell, you're in a conference with the Dolphins who have Tyreek Hill and Waddle. You got to be able to keep up with these teams, and it's – unless you want to end up like the Bills, you need to add weapons.
And in all honesty, if Patrick Mahomes wants to put up 35, he's going to put up 35 regardless who's on that defense.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to put up 36.
Yeah.
And the best way to be able to put up 36 is to have both of them. So.
Yeah. I think you just got to keep Higgins. I don't think you can trade him.
Okay. Well, let's look at some of the guys that are free agents. Hollywood Brown. Does he fit anywhere? Like, obviously, there are some fits for him, but it's a guy who had some, I guess, moderate success early in his career, got traded for a first-round pick not even 3 years ago, and just hasn't really been...
He's fine.
Yeah, I mean,
he's fine.
But it's like, what does he get paid? Where does he go? What is his role like? The Texans are another one here that I like, actually.
All right, so teams who can maximize Hollywood Brown because their quarterback will get him the ball 40 yards downfield. The Bills.
Texans.
The Jets. The Browns, maybe. Texans.
Chiefs.
Yeah, Chiefs, Jaguars, Colts. Ooh, Colts could be a spicy one there. I don't know what their cap looks like.
With Michael Pittman.
And then I think it's tough. I mean, the Cardinals, they're not going to bring him back. I mean, it's, like, there are some other teams, like the Rams could, but why would they? You know?
Yeah. If you're the Rams, do you trade Cooper Kupp?
What was that?
If you're the Rams, do you trade Cooper Kupp?
I got to know what he's thinking about retirement.
Yeah, but, I mean, with the way Puka Laduka played last season, it's like...
He could make sense in Green Bay. In Detroit, he could make sense if they didn't want to run heavy so much, but I think they do want to run heavy a lot, so, like, that...
In Detroit, possible. I mean, with Jamison Williams and... I mean, Jamison Williams started coming on strong last year.
Well, that's the thing, though. I think that I think that if you're going to run 11 personnel as the Lions, I think Marquise Brown is a great fit.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to run a lot of 11. I think they're going to stay heavy more often than not. And then, man, I mean, that's probably it. Like... I mean, another team might go after him, but I don't think they'll have the quarterback that's going to really capitalize on him.
Yeah. So, let's look at Calvin Ridley. Is he a Bear?
I don't know. I don't know if I want him to be a Bear. I mean, what are you getting? You know, it's a giant wild card.
Yeah.
Like, the guy... came back, looked good for a few weeks, and then struggled a lot last season. Maybe that's chemistry with Lawrence. Maybe that was usage issues. I'm looking at a 29-year-old receiver who just played his first season in a while and didn't really live up to expectations. So I don't know if I want him to be a Bear. The one guy that I'd be interested in is Darnell Mooney, and he has been a Bear, honestly. But for Ridley, you have to imagine there's a market. He's got to be essentially the top receiver on the market because of just the pedigree that he does bring, even though he is coming off a down return season after multiple seasons missing. Teams that might be interested in him, I mean, I got to think the Bills would have to consider it. So Bills, maybe the Ravens on a rebound deal, but I'm not even sure about that. Let's see. We got a comment here from Calvin again. As a Cardinals fan, Brown didn't have an honest chance with coaching changes, Murray out, and subsequent QB rotations. I can see that. I can agree with that. I mean, he's not really a fit for what they want to do there, I feel like.
Right, yeah, now. It was weird from the beginning. Yeah.
And then the fact that, you know, you had Josh Dobbs and then the kid out of Houston playing half the games there last year, it, you know, throws an even bigger wrench in it, 'cause neither of those guys have a big enough arm to take advantage of Hollywood speed.
No, yeah. Clayton Toon.
Yeah, Clayton Toon, that's it. From the Toon Squad.
The Toon Squad. Yeah, I mean, Hollywood Brown, Calvin Ridley, I like what you said about Buffalo for Calvin Ridley.
I mean, Buffalo needs to add something to the receiver room. And their cap is probably a mess from that Von Miller deal. But, I mean, they got to do something. Josh Allen's best year of his career was the year he had three NFL-caliber wide receivers. And maybe Khalil Shakir is an NFL-caliber starting wide receiver. But I think it's still a little early to declare that.
You think Stephon Diggs stays there? Because, like, he seemed like he wanted out last year.
He did, but also, I mean, he's got a big contract, and he really faded down the stretch last year.
Yeah.
It was injury-related, but it was still, you know, at 30, you don't get less concerned about injuries.
That's true. Yeah, I just don't know who would go pick him up. Yeah, and Dallas has three receivers. Unless they can get rid of Michael Gallup, I don't really see them going after anybody. But they're always trying to get receivers there with Dak. But yeah. I don't think they don't get anybody. They don't go get anybody unless they can get rid of Gallup. And
Carolina is probably going to throw a fat bag of money at Calvin Ridley.
It makes sense.
It does. I mean, again, it's like we said with running back. They need to.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll go get somebody.
Time's running out. Your number one pick is going to start looking like a bust if you don't help them out. You only have so much time to do it. They're going to have to throw a fat bag of money at him.
Yeah. So.
Which means they'll probably sign Hollywood Brown for Bryce Young's pea shooter. And.
Oh, yeah. But just try to replicate what Arizona did with Kyler Murray.
Yeah, except for Kyler has a cannon.
Yeah. But, okay, so you want to talk some defensive free agency next week, whenever free agency actually starts?
Yeah, let's do defense next draft. Week and offense this week.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to go to the draft, or do you want to talk about some O-linemen that we got, or any tight ends that you like?
Let's take a look at tight ends and then O-line on free agency. So, tight ends, what do we got? We got Dalton Schultz.
Oh, he only signed a 1-year deal.
Did he get tagged today?
I didn't see anything about it. I thought he signed a 2-year deal in Houston. Did he not?
I don't know. It says he's a free agent.
Dalton Schultz.
And outside of that, I mean, you got Hunter Henry. You got Noah Fant. Gerald Everett. Like, you got some role players, but you don't have anyone who you're really excited about, I don't think. At tight end,
I'm seeing a bunch of unconfirmed sources that Dalton. Oh, okay. PFF Brad said Dalton Schultz got an extension.
Okay, so Schultz is off the market. Tight end market's pretty barren. Then, I mean, you can find some role players, some band aids in here.
Okay, Dalton Schultz, 3-year, $36 million, 23.5 guaranteed. Ian Rappaport 8 hours ago.
Okay. But yeah, so the tight end market's pretty empty. If you're looking for a starter at tight end, I mean, maybe you sign one of these guys and go to the draft as well.
Jonnu Smith is signing in Miami, apparently, I saw. But
he must have been a street free agent, and like he must have just not been signed at the end of the year.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, that's the only thing I saw.
Offensive line, let's see, at center, Connor Williams is probably the top center. Tore his ACL towards the end of last year. He's gonna sign somewhere. I don't know if he's gonna look for a long term deal or a short term deal to be able to get bigger money next year. But that injury,
how much did Miami pay him?
I don't even know what Miami was paying him.
It was like 2 years, like $16 million, I think.
Yeah, he's projected 3 years, $23 million from Brad. Okay. So he's a really good center, but it's just a question of how he's going to bounce back from that torn ACL. Especially like if you're a team like the Bears, who's going to have a rookie quarterback, do you want to go through your entire rookie quarterback's training camp?
Are we sure they're going to have a rookie quarterback?
What?
Are we sure the Bears are going to have a rookie quarterback?
Yeah.
Positive?
Very.
Justin Fields is still there.
He is, but
Caleb Williams isn't there yet.
Not quite yet.
He's gonna be a Washington Commander, but yeah, Connor Williams is gonna go back to Dallas and play center like he always should have, and all is right, gonna be in the world.
There you go. Andre James is also on the market. I like Andre James. I think he's a quality football player. Brad has him projected here at 3 years, $27 million. He's 27 years old. He's from the Raiders. And then Lloyd Cushenberry's probably the top center on the market. Brad has him projected 4 years, $50 million. The only reason he's top center over Connor Williams is because of that torn ACL. But yeah. Cushenberry's been getting better every year. He's a guy who still had ways to improve when he entered the league, and he looked like he really hit his stride last year and started to really figure everything out. So I expect someone to pay him pretty good money. I am a little cautious of paying a guy like that personally, just because you just got comfortable and you're going to change.
Yeah.
So, like, there's always the question there of, like, how much will that change impact their play?
Absolutely. What do you think about a guy like Tyron Smith coming off one of his best seasons as a pro, but older in age, has back issues? He's a tall, long guy. He's, what, 6'7", 315. And had back issues the last 4 or 5 years, but coming off an all-pro season, the most games he's played since 2015. A guy like that at left tackle heading the open market.
I'll give him a cheap contract to play tackle if I need a tackle, but I'd rather give him more money to play guard.
Yeah, you think that's what's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to strain his back as much at guard.
Yeah.
It's going to be easier on his back. He's not going to have to cover as much ground. Not going to have to be straining and getting out of position in space the same way. Like a zone run team, inside or outside zone run team. Probably inside zone is better even, but then inside zones tend to mix more gap schemes in, and then you're talking about pulling, getting him out in space, which I think gets riskier with his back. So probably like an outside zone Shanahan type scheme.
I think he's ended up in Los Angeles with Harbaugh. Goes back home. He's an LA kid. And play right tackle for him, actually.
I mean, seems possible. But if I'm an NFL GM, I want to see him as a guard. Like, that's where I think he can extend his career a little more.
Yeah.
Never played guard before. It's not a capability thing. It's a health thing.
Yeah. And I mean, he got drafted in, I think he's in his 14th year.
Yeah.
He was same draft as JJ Watt, but much younger. He came into the league at 19. So, I mean, he's old, but he's not as old as the amount of years he has in the NFL. I was really hoping he would just retire with all the back issues and everything. I would rather him retire as a Cowboy, but I'll be interested to see where he goes. As long as it's not Washington, as long as it's not Philly, as long as it's not New York, I'll be happy.
Yeah, it's a pretty deep center market in free agency this year. Because after Everett Cushman, you still got Aaron Brewer, who's been starting for the Titans for years. It's wild. He's listed at like 270 pounds. And I'm pretty sure he plays at like 270 pounds. Which in modern day NFL is just absolutely ludicrous. But I mean, he's a zone run scheme guy only because of that size. Your guy is available.
He's not coming back to Dallas, but Dallas does need a center.
Yeah.
I like the kid out of Oregon.
You and everybody else. Dude's a monster.
Yeah, but he's going to probably go in the 20s.
Yeah. All right. Have a good night, Calvin. We appreciate you in the comments.
Thanks, Calvin. Take it easy.
He's going to go somewhere around 20, I think. I don't know if he gets by the Steelers.
Yeah. You don't think the Steelers go with J.J. McCarthy?
I don't think J.J.'s getting out of the top 12.
Really?
Nope. I think J.J. might be QB3.
After Jaden Daniels? You think Drake May drops that much?
No, I don't think Drake May drops.
So Jaden Daniels hypothetically goes to Washington. And then is Drake May QB3 no matter what?
No, I think Drake May is a Washington Commander.
Okay, well, let's say Washington takes Jaden Daniels. Is Drake May QB3 no matter what?
Then Drake May is QB3. Absolutely.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
I think
JJ might jump Jaden Daniels. There's been so much smoke around Jaden lately, I just can't buy it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Jaden Daniels deserves to... I wouldn't say deserve, that's a bad word. But I don't see any possible scenario where he goes to. But it's either smoke or there's actually something there. But a lot of people seem to think that Washington really, really, really likes him.
I think the Patriots, this is just pure conspiracy theory on my part. I think the Patriots really want Drake May, and they have people out there. They have birds out there whispering in people's ears about how good Jaden Daniels is.
But yeah, I mean, it seems like the people liking Jaden Daniels are coming out of the Washington camp, or unless the Patriots are just that good at it. But
I don't know. Does it seem that way?
That's what it sounded like. But yeah, I mean, I think Drake May is a Bear. Caleb Williams is a Washington Commander, obviously, because they hired Cliff.
Because they hired Cliff, I don't think it, assuming the Bears take Caleb.
They're not going to take Caleb.
I don't think there's any way Drake May gets by Washington because that's Cliff's. Drake May ran Cliff's offense at something very similar to Cliff's offense at North Carolina.
I mean, haven't you heard? Caleb Williams is from DC. He's going to be a Commander.
Yeah. I know. I'm trying to give real talk.
I don't make the rules. I try telling people this on Twitter all the time. I don't make the rules. I'm just telling you what's going to happen.
But anyways, we're talking O-line. Enough quarterback talk. So then you got Coleman Shelton, who played really well for the Rams last year, who's available. Kind of a one-year wonder.
He'll go back to the Rams.
Came out of nowhere at center. And then Evan Brown, who was for the Seahawks. Nick Gates. Commanders just like surprise released him. This dude is nasty. Like, this dude eats glass for breakfast, but
with no milk.
He's not great, but he's fine and just angry.
Yeah.
And then looking at guards, let's see. Kevin Dotson, never doubt those Louisiana Raging Cajun offensive guards. That's all I've got.
They're raging, they're Cajun.
They're road graders, man. They just run people over. That's what Kevin Dotson did last year for the Rams. But his partner in crime for the Raging Cajuns, Robert Hunt, both they played together at Louisiana, both road graders. Hunt's probably the more consistent player in his career.
Yeah.
Dotson had a really good year for the Rams, but Hunt has been just consistent year after year in Miami of being good. I think he's the more valuable player here. But both guys are they plow people over, man. I love watching them. Kevin Zeitler, I imagine he's going to go back to the Ravens for another shot at a ring.
Yeah.
He's 34 years old by now, but he's still pretty darn good.
Yeah, still on a high level.
And after that, I mean, you got Dalton Risner, Ezra Cleveland, Damian Lewis, John Runyon. Jonah Jackson could be interesting. He was a pretty darn good guard. And last year, he struggled more. I think he's had some injury issues.
Was he with Cincinnati?
No, Detroit.
Oh, Detroit. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. I know the name.
Yeah, he could be an interesting guy to sign. I mean, Brad's got him projected at $10 million a year, so you're not going to get a great value there. But yeah. I think that he's probably a better player than what his performance was last year. And you got a decent amount of depth guys here too. But looking at tackles, let's see. This one, I don't know who's out there for tackles outside of Tyron Smith. You have Trent Brown after Tyron Smith. He's always a wild card. The second he leaves New England, he's injured half the year and not good anymore. But he's always good for the Patriots somehow. Mike Unwenu, he can play guard or tackle. I think he wants to play tackle, so that's probably what he's going to go someplace where he can play tackle.
Yeah.
He's been really good at both. Better at guard, but he's been good at both. And you got Mekhi Becton at free agency.
He's a free agent this year?
Yep.
That was a quick 4 years.
Yeah. How many snaps did he play has he played in his career?
Dude, he was so good as a rookie, man.
Yeah, those first like six games, and then he just like died after that.
Yeah, well, he put on like 40 pounds, 50 pounds when he was already like 360.
637 snaps in his career.
Did that dude, I've never seen a rookie come in and dominate a grown man the way that dude did his first like couple of weeks in the league.
Dude, so I gotta say this because it's big right now with Amarius Mims in the draft class.
Yeah.
350-pound players being asked to play 60, 70 snaps a game is gonna end in injury more often than not. You see it with Mekhi Becton. You saw it last year with DeJuan Jones coming into Cleveland. He was really good, but he only lasted like 8 games because that is just a lot of weight to be running on for that many snaps a game.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see it with Amarius Mims out of Georgia, too. The guy has never stayed healthy at Georgia. The guy got hurt at the combine.
Well, not only was Mekhi Becton that weight, he also put on in like an extra 40 pounds. Yeah. Just no discipline or anything.
That's the other thing. When you're 350 when you're healthy, you're probably going to get a little heavier when you're hurt.
Yeah.
Guys that way just scare me to add to your roster. Jonah Williams is available. He's a serviceable tackle. Like, I'm not sure I'd say he's good, but he's not necessarily bad. I think Jermaine Illuminor falls in a similar category. Josh Jones finally got a chance to play more last year and did not really impress. But who knows? Maybe he's one of those guys who falls into the elite agility testing category of offensive linemen. So he's going to keep getting chances. Like,
got them feet.
Yeah. It's hard to find a dancing bear like that, man.
Yeah.
Donovan Smith's a free agent. So the Chiefs got a hold of Phil at left tackle.
Yeah. They'll find somebody. Tyron Smith.
He would make sense. Especially because he probably wouldn't cost a ton because he wants a ring.
Yeah. I mean, he does want a ring. I don't know what he wants. I honestly thought I was shocked that he's willingly hitting free agency. Like, I thought he was going to retire after this year. I thought he was going to retire after last year, and I thought he was going to retire after the year before that. So, I mean, he clearly wants something, and it's not money, or it could be money, but he's made a shit ton. Yeah. So,
and then that kind of wraps up. You got George Fant, Cam Fleck. So by now you're getting the swing tackles who are like,
yeah.
Yosh Nijman could be interesting at 28 years old. I mean, he's never been good, but he's not bad. So yeah. I've always liked him. I've always thought that he's better than he gets credit for.
All right. So outside of quarterback, what it could be a wide receiver, it could be a running back, it could be an offensive lineman. What addition out of this free agency class on offense do you think could be the biggest contributor to a team making that next step, making a conference championship game, maybe pushing a Super Bowl? It's like, who do you think can be added to a team, and what team do you think it is that can put them over the hump out of these offensive free agents?
Darnell Mooney of the Chiefs.
They could put him over the hump. Finally get that ring.
He'd be the best receiver on the team instantly. I mean,
you think he's better than Rashee Rice? I love Rashee Rice.
I like Rashee Rice a lot. I think Rashee Rice is still learning and not very versatile.
Okay. Well, let's take away the Chiefs then, because it's like there is no hump. It's just solid ground for them. I mean, they're up here just driving on solid ground, doing 85, not giving a damn about anything else in the world. And until they get knocked down into the depths of hell, I mean, they're smooth sailing. So,
Josh Jacobs to the Texans.
You think that? I like that a lot.
I think that's the one that will make the biggest, and that one probably beats Mooney to the Chiefs. I just think Mooney to the Chiefs is a lock, and I think Mooney is a much better receiver than what his value is.
Yeah. Right now. So I'm going to say, talked about it a little bit earlier, I'm going to say Calvin Ridley to the Bills. We get a Bills Chiefs AFC championship game.
Okay. So you think Ridley bounces back?
I think he can. Whether he will or not, I don't know. But I think he has the potential to. Opposite of Stephon Diggs, could be similar to what we were talking about earlier with the T. Higgins, Jamar Chase scenario. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't get the long-term contract right now, but maybe a one-year, $16 million deal, prove-it deal, playing wide receiver two with a guy like Josh Allen.
The Chiefs are currently, or the Bills currently have negative $41 million in cap space, so.
I mean, I don't think the Saints have been positive in the cap for like 54 years now, and somehow they get shit done. So I'm sure they can find a way to make it work.
Yeah, they're let's see. If they restructure Josh Allen, that buys him $10 million.
We'll figure it out.
Oh, wait. So that's got to be...
Also, do Bears fans get mad at you for having a terrible towel on top of Butkus?
No, it's never been mentioned.
Never?
I was curious if that would ever come up, and it hasn't.
That's shocking.
Okay, so, yeah. So I buy him $10 million, and then, I mean, you don't want to restructure Diggs or Miller. You could consider Dawkins, maybe. Man, they are in a rough spot.
Should they trade Josh Allen?
No.
Who's better, Josh Allen or Dak Prescott?
Josh Allen.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Why?
Does equal with less?
Or does less with equal?
No.
I mean, Mike McCarthy is like a negative 10. So it's like...
Dude, Josh Allen's offense coordinator was fired halfway through last season, and some dude who never called plays successfully took over.
Freddie from the kitchen?
No, who was it? Joe Brady.
He called offensive plays in Carolina, did he not?
I said successfully. He got fired pretty quick in Carolina.
He did. He certainly did. So, you think Dak is better than Josh Allen? You're finally going to admit it?
No. I think Dak had a better season than Josh Allen last year, arguably. But I think I'm taking Josh Allen over Dak over and over and over.
I won't take either one of them.
Okay.
Beat them both to the wolves.
To the wolves?
Yeah.
Want nothing to do with them.
Either one. Can't win with them.
Can't win without them?
I was going for the Singletary quote, and I forgot it.
Oh.
Can't win with them. What did you say after you can't win with them?
I think it's just can't do it.
Can't do it. Can't do it.
His point was made and he iterated it.
He was Singletary was a linebackers coach at Mary Hardin Baylor when I was getting recruited in high school.
Really?
And I missed the recruiting day because I was at another college the weekend before. So they brought me in for a private visit. And so it was me and my grandpa, just us two, on like a private visit at Mary Hardin Baylor, and he was there. And we were looking at like the board for like top lifts, and I was like, oh, your top offensive lineman only has a 560 squat. And then my grandpa's like, can't win with him. Oh, this is hilarious. Singletary just kind of looked at him, and I was just like,
oh my god, that is amazing.
Because like the previous weekend we had just had state powerlifting and I think I did like 720. And then like I was looking at the board and I was like, 560 squat for your top offensive lineman? And my grandpa just like out of nowhere, just like unprovoked, can't win with him.
So did they call you back?
Oh yeah, they I didn't go, but yeah, they they liked me. But yeah, it's just hilarious. Like, and I think he was only there for 1 year because he definitely wasn't there after I decided I didn't want to play football anymore. They called me again after I'd quit and transferred to Tech. I'm like, are you sure you don't want to come play some ball? And I'm like, I met this really cool dude from Chicago, and I'm gonna live the frat life.
I'll do it.
But
yeah, it's not even on his
Wikipedia profile. Really? Yeah,
he must have went to the Vikings right after that, but there's just a gap in here.
Yeah, it was shocking that he was even there in the first place.
He went there.
What?
He played there in the 80s. Yeah.
Oh, okay. He was definitely there on the recruiting visit, and he was definitely supposedly the linebacker coach. So.
Yeah, no, he played at Mary Harden Baylor.
I didn't even know that. I don't even know if that was brought up when I was there.
Let's see. Well, his Wikipedia says he went to Baylor. I thought he went to Mary Harden Baylor. Maybe I guess he went to Baylor. Okay.
Well, back then, Mary Harden Baylor and Baylor were the same school. The Mary Harden Baylor was like the women's school, and they separated.
Okay.
So maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, that must be it.
Because Mary Harden Baylor and Baylor were like the same school, but they were both like men went here, women went here. And so maybe he was just like helping out the program or whatever, like. But I definitely know he was there. I remember those eyes. I mean, one of the firmest handshakes I've ever got in my life. And I was like, I was being recruited, so I wasn't trying to like fanboy, but I was like, dude, you're like goated, brother. Like, I just want to talk ball with you. Like, I don't think I want to come play here, but like, can we just go have lunch and talk ball? But
yeah, I think that wraps.
I think that'll be it.
Yeah.
Okay. So Caleb Williams is a Bear. Drake May is a Commander. JJ McCarthy is a. Patriot?
Viking or. Let's see. I don't think the Patriots are going QB at 3. I think they'd be dumb to.
Okay, so what are the Patriots doing at 3? Lock it in. Do what?
Marvin Harrison Jr., Maserati Marv. Take the best player there is.
Maserati Marv.
Best player in the draft.
Can we talk about Brock Bowers having a weird helmet?
I didn't know anything about Brock Bowers' helmet.
It always looks like he's running like this when he runs.
I thought that was just the way his shoulders were.
It might be. It's a bust.
I mean, Ladd McConkey looks kind of like that too, so maybe that's just a Georgia thing.
Maybe. I don't know, but...
Yeah, Minnesota and Denver, I think, are going to be battling for JJ one way or the other.
Not San Diego or Los Angeles?
No. I got Herbert. They're not.
Tell me why Herbert's a good quarterback.
Because he has great stats. I'm not trying to sit here and say he is a great quarterback. No, I'm just saying, if you're taking J.J. McCarthy and he turned into Justin Herbert, you're really happy.
I've never had an opinion on Justin Herbert other than, like, yeah, he's pretty good. Until recently when, like, I don't know where these people are coming from, but, like, Justin Herbert stands are just coming out of the woodworks for this guy this offseason.
You said about wanted the heat from the Chargers fans. You said that for 2 years.
No, these aren't Chargers fans. These are just Justin Herbert stans. These are like guys that like I don't know if they like him from college. I don't I don't know, because like I go like
he's look an at the analytics profiles. Darling. Analytics folks love Justin Herbert.
And it's like the team is talent every talent galore. It's not like he's like pulling scrubs like through the depths of hell to like 9-win seasons and barely missing the playoffs. It's like, no, there's it's all there. Like,
yeah. I mean, I will say 2 years ago, there were a lot of valid excuses. But last year, I mean, there were some valid excuses, but not more than like you see really good quarterbacks overcome.
Yeah. I mean, good quarterbacks win games. I mean, was look at CJ Stroud. I mean, look at Josh Allen. I mean, look at Dak Prescott. Better than Josh Allen, like, you know.
Hey, I mean, the talent level for the Chargers offense and the Cowboys isn't that far apart.
No, it is definitely not. But, yeah, so I think they take Jaden Daniels because that's definitely a Jim Harbaugh move, John Harbaugh move.
I think the Chargers are the biggest wild card in here. Like, I think they're where whoever trades up for quarterback is going to end trades up at. Too. Which is part of why I think Jaden Daniels could become QB4, because I think those two teams are going to covet McCarthy more.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. Well, we'll talk some draft next week. We'll talk some defensive free agents next week. I think free agency starts, what, Monday?
Is it Monday?
I think so.
Man, that snuck up on me. It always sneaks up on me.
It's very, very soon. I know it's next week. I just don't know when.
Yep, March 11th.
Yeah. So we'll have some answers next week, but we'll talk some defensive free agents, and we'll start talking a little draft next week, and then we'll have March Madness. And then draft talk going forward from there.
Wait, March 13th. Excuse me. March 13th is the official new league year.
But the legal tampering period or whatever starts Monday. Most of the big deals get done almost immediately.
Yeah, Schefter will start shooting out all the shit on the 11th.
Yeah. So I think that'll be it for this week. Next week, like I said, we'll talk defense. We'll talk draft. Then after that, we'll have some March Madness for you guys. So stay tuned, and we will see y'all soon.
Adios.
Adios.